Skype of Cthulhu presents a Call of Cthulhu campaign. This is Our Home by Jim Phillips.
Exactly. Okay, so this is Our Home. It is, as we will begin in a moment, the 22nd of September, 1976. We are in Staten Island, borough of New York City, New York State, in the United States. For those of you who do not remember 1976, or for those of you who, like me, remember it, but perhaps not so clearly, there were some interesting things that happened that year. The Innsbruck Winter Olympic Games in Innsbruck, Austria, took place earlier in the year. In March of 1976, the very first commercial supercomputer, the Cray 1, was released. Kind of interesting. Patty Hearst, famous heiress to the Hearst fortune, who was, of course, kidnapped and may or may not have been brainwashed, up for debate. But she was found guilty of the bank robbery in March of this year. For the baseball fans, the Toronto Blue Jays were formed this year as well. In April of 1976, Apple Computer was founded.
Quickly, Bushes, now.
they may or may not be around for a while. Hard to say. In May of this year, the Concorde first goes into service, flying across the Atlantic at the speed of sound.
That's crazy.
Causing problems and headaches for people in its flight path. In June, the Boston Celtics win the NBA championship for all the basketball fans among us. And in July of this year, Viking 1 lands on Mars. We got our first pictures of the surface of Mars. Also in July, Jimmy Carter wins the nomination for president. That will probably go well for him for at least a little while. And in July, we also have the Summer Olympics in Montreal, during which a rather famous person who has since changed their name, but in 1976 we did not know about such things, won the gold medal in the men's decathlon and would go on to become a hero of Wheaties cereal boxes everywhere. So as we start on this 22nd of September, we're actually going to start with you, Gary, with Mr. Mitchell. So the rest of you
have Mr. Michael,
sorry.
Peter Michael.
I see. Okay, I do have that spelled right. Mr. Michael. So the rest of you have moved in prior to this. And a lot of the details that Gary will encounter as we start play here will be very familiar to your character. You will have seen and done many of the same things. So that's how I'm kind of filling in the background for all of you. Since some of you moved in and some of you have jobs, I will very quickly kind of say, Mr. Griffin and Mr. Romero The two of you have certainly met, have realized that you both kind of live in the same building, you know each other to, kind of nod and wave at, because you both work at the same warehouse. In different jobs.
Okay.
You both, see each other kind of walking to work in the late afternoon. You both work swing shift there. So you kind of know each other in that context.
Who is this, Mr. Michael?
Mr. Griffin and Mr. Romero.
Griffin.
So Sean's character and Randall's character.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Mazur and Ms. Janelle, since the two of you have moved in, you also have come to realize again and kind of know each other, at least in a kind of nod, maybe a bit of, minor conversation here and there, a wave, that you both live in the same building because the two of you both work in the same place. You work at a bodega a couple blocks down from the building. Again, in different jobs, but you both work during the swing shift.
Great.
And Ms. Greer, you haven't really met anyone. Although you certainly recognize, other residents of the building coming and going and that sort of thing.
That's all right. I don't want to know none of them.
I don't blame you. But we will begin. It is mid-afternoon on the 22nd of September. And Mr. Michael, you are in a van. You're dressed in street clothes. And you are being driven from your previous lodgings to this particular building in Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
You have with you, a few dollars, your ID, and a bag of clothes, and not much more than that. As you approach the building, you can see as the driver pulls up in front of this building, it is a six-story walk-up, right? So it's a kind of thin, narrow brick building. It looks fairly old. There's, kind of three steps up to a front door, a little stoop there. And you would, kind of know, guess from having seen similar buildings all over the city, right? This front door is going to lead into kind of an entryway where mailboxes are, and then there will be some number, which everyone else will know, but you will soon come to learn, is three apartments on each floor of the six. And then stairs down into a basement, which you will eventually come to learn, and the others would already know. There is a common laundry in the basement, well as storage lockers for the residents, kind of a closet, if you will, made out of 2x4s and chicken wire, and about the size of a closet, kind of a 4x4 square, up to the ceiling, but just separated by chicken wire, kind of one for each apartment, and then a boiler room and other storage in the basement. As you drive up, Mr. Michael, you can see that sitting on the stoop is a young girl. You would guess she's probably 5-6 years old, something like that. She's just kind of sitting there. She has a little kind of worn teddy bear in her hand. She's kind of holding on to it, just kind of rocking back and forth. Standing on the sidewalk is a middle-aged woman. She is well-dressed. She's got, kind of a skirt suit on. She's got glasses. Her hair is pulled back into a tight ponytail. She is holding a clipboard and what seems to be a folder of papers. And as the car comes to a stop, Your driver gets out, opens the door. Well, here you go, Mr. Michael. Good luck. You try to stay out of trouble. Miss Bach here is the manager. She'll take it from here.
Well, it's not like I did anything wrong to go. Yeah. I think it was so to climb out of the truck. He's still quite physically fit. I mean, probably a little bit fitter than what he was before he went in. But yeah, he'll head over to the lady.
Okay.
So
can I get
apartments here then?
Can I get everyone who is not Mr. Michael to make a luck roll?
07 is a super duper success.
98 seems like how this is all going to go.
08.
53, I failed.
Okay. Those of you who succeeded in your luck roll, you see the van pull up. Totally up to you whether you're in your apartment looking out the window. Maybe you're, it's a little early to be going to work yet, but maybe you're headed to mute Steve because he's being really noisy right now. it's a little early to be headed to work, but, maybe you're walking to or from the bodega to get groceries, or just standing outside on the sidewalk smoking a cigarette, kind of whatever you want to do. But, those of you who made the luck roll are in a position to be watching this. Each of you recognizes that van. You recognize the driver. You recognize Ms. Bach. You've all gone through something very similar. You know at least something about this new person who has just shown up. Mr. Michael, as you get out of the van, Ms. Bach looks at you for a moment. You can give me a spot hidden roll, Mr. Michael.
Spot hidden roll? 95. No, and he's wallowing at the moment.
And a psychology roll, please.
Psychology. You won. No, not good enough. No.
Okay, never mind. She looks at you. Mr. Michael, Peter Michael.
Yes.
Welcome to the Hoffman Building. I do hope your stay here will be pleasant and help get you back on your feet, help reintroduce you to society.
Well, thank you. I mean, hopefully I won't be here too long.
Well, I believe, and she kind of looks down at their notes and flips through. Yes, we'll be with us at least a year, I understand. Unless you have other plans. Are you planning to skip out on your probation? Should I
No.
Call the deputy back and...
A year is a year. I mean, I'll did longer just before. Now I can put up with a year here.
Well, very good then. Hopefully you'll find it is not just putting up with, but we at Hoffman Management believe that our building is safe and secure. We try to keep everything clean and neat and organized, and I hope we can trust you to maintain that, and that we will not have any.
I'm not here to cause any trouble.
That is lovely. That is exactly what I was hoping to hear. If you would just sign here, please, I will take you up to your apartment. And she hands you the clipboard, and there's a form on there. It's got your name. This building is as your address. Some of your pertinent personal details, your length of stay, and kind of check boxes for, I will not you know, bring firearms into the building. I will not bring drugs into the building. You know, I will not, you know, hit no loud noises after 10 o'clock, you know, kind of these kind of building rules.
And I was told I would have a job.
Oh, yes. If you would just sign there, I have your employment information right here as well.
Okay, and he'll sign.
Okay. She takes that back from you. And then she hands you a letter. And the letter is on stationery from, I should have this closer to the top of my list, but I do not. From Hadzic Enterprises, Hadzic, for those of you who are trying to spell that. Basically guaranteeing you employment so long as you, you know, maintain you know, a proper work record and don't cause any trouble and this kind of thing, as a swing shift security guard at their warehouse, and an address is given. Some of the others in the building work for Mr. Jadzik as well at his warehouse. It is about four blocks in that direction. Fairly easy walk. The neighborhood is safe even at night. You don't have to worry about a cab unless you particularly want to. But they are expecting you for this evening, I believe. Yes, as it says there, you will be working swing shift. So starting at 5 p.m.
Okay, thank you. And I'll look at my watch, look at the time.
It is about 3 p.m.
3 p.m. So I've got a couple of hours to get settled then.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, if you would follow me, I will show you to your apartment.
Thank you.
She turns to lead you into the building. And as she does, I mean, almost before you can even take a step, the little girl who is sitting on the stoop jumps up. She looks straight at you and almost comes flying down the steps across the sidewalk and just crashes into you and gives you a huge bear hug.
Well, he'll pat her back awkwardly.
She kind of steps back and she looks up at you. As I said, she's a young girl, 5'6", you know, certainly not more than 7, probably of Hispanic descent, you're going to guess, dark hair, big brown eyes, and she looks up at you with these big brown eyes. She's got a huge smile on her face. She's holding, you know, this kind of ratty teddy bear in one hand, and she hands you a piece of paper.
Does this guy look familiar based on some previous info?
Give me, since you were one of the ones who were watching this, Mr. Mazur, give me a education roll.
Can I give that a try as well with my 08 on spot hidden?
Yes.
That is a success on education. I guess I was not actually thinking about the sports familiarity. I was really thinking about the drawing.
No.
Okay.
But yes, having made the education roll, same thing, Mr. Romero, if you make your education roll, you absolutely recognize Mr. Michael as being a former player for the Jets. You know there was something in the paper some years ago about an assault or something, maybe. You don't remember all the details, but yeah, you recognize him at least at that level.
Okay.
Mr. Michael, as soon as the young girl hands you the piece of paper, you know, she looks at you. Do you take it or?
Yeah. He'll okay. Kneel down and say, "Oh, thank you." And
she looks at you. She just, you know, her eyes are beaming. It's a huge smile. She gives you a huge hug again. And then she turns around and sprints into the building.
Yeah, well, Peter will look up at the lady and go, who's that? Who's that?
Oh, that's Carolina, I believe her name is. Yeah. Yes, Carolina. She lives with her grandmother, Asuncion. They're on the first floor. Nice enough little girl, I suppose. Doesn't say much, though.
He will fold the note and just put it in his pocket for now. Wait until he gets into his apartment before you open up.
Okay. Miss Bach leads you inside the building. As you come in, you can see that, yes, indeed, there are some mailboxes there right inside the door. There are three doors on the first floor. They are labeled number one, number two, and number three. Number one also has a plaque on it saying manager. And Miss Bach will lead you upstairs. The manager's apartment is number one, but although I am the building manager, I don't actually live here. I use the apartment as an office when I need to. If you do need something, you will usually not find me there, but you can call anyone at Hoffman Management. The number is there on your paperwork.
Cool. Thank you.
And she will lead you up to the fourth floor of the building. And as you go, you can see that there are indeed three apartments on each floor. So the second floor is number 5, 4, 5, and 6. Third floor is 7, 8, and 9. You get up to the fourth floor, you can see 10, 11, and 12. And she leads you to the door labeled number 11. Takes out a key, unlocks the door, pushes the door open, and walks in.
Okay, you walk in and have a look around at the room.
It is a small one-bedroom apartment. The front door leads into a small living room. There is a door on one side of the living room into a very small kitchen. There's a tiny little ice box, a hot plate, and a few cupboards. And a sink. Another door from the living room leads into a tiny little bathroom. There is a stand-up shower and a toilet and a vanity with a sink. And then a third door leads into a tiny little bedroom. The apartment it's clean. The paint is intact. There's paint and wallpaper and it's all intact. You know, it's not like anything's, you know, peeling or stained or anything like that. The floors are wood. They're a bit scuffed, but you know, generally, you know, pretty clean and well kept. There's not, you know, it's not terrible or anything like that. There's no kind of water stains on the ceiling or anything like that that you can see. The apartment is furnished, so there's, you know, there's a sofa and a padded chair in the living room. There's a small kind of 10-inch black and white TV on a small TV stand. In the bedroom, there is a double bed and a small nightstand and a wardrobe. All of the furniture looks pretty new. You know, there's no kind of stains or cigarette burns or, you know, torn fabric or anything like this. But it's definitely
sort of looks
not
like it's been set up for me.
Yes, it's definitely not high end furniture. Mm-hmm. You know, this is definitely cheap, low end furniture, but it does seem to be pretty clean and new and intact.
Hey, it's more than what I was used to from the last place.
Ms. Bach kind of, you know, points out, you know, here's the kitchen, here's the bathroom, here's the bedroom. You know, do please try to keep the place clean and neat. We don't have any bed bugs. We don't want to have any bed bugs.
Yeah, well, I mean, most definitely. I mean, look, it's a major step up of the sort of rooms I've been used to for the last few years. So, yeah, I'll keep it clean and neat.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the Hoffman, Mr. Michael. I do hope you have a productive year here, or even longer, should you decide to renew your lease. If you, as I said, if you need anything, please feel free to give us a call. We are available. There is someone at the office from 9 to 5. Call anytime during those hours. Outside those hours, you can leave a message with the answering service and someone will call you back the next day. She hands you the key.
Thank you.
Good luck, Mr. Michael. Yes.
Where's the grocery store, you know, to get some food and stuff?
Ah, yes, of course. There is a small bodega. It is called, again, this is something I should have closer to hand. I do apologize. Where is it? Come on, Jim. There it is. It is called the Sung Min Yi Grocery. Run by a very lovely gentleman and his wife, Yong Hui. I believe a couple of our tenants actually work there. But it is 2 blocks down that way, just past the construction.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. And she leaves.
Yep, he'll check out look in the cupboard, see if there's any like coffee or food or anything in the house, in the room, in the apartment.
There is no coffee or food or anything in the apartment. There are a few dishes, a few random coffee cups, some tableware, but no food or drink.
So he's got. You said I was given a little bit of money, wasn't I? Yeah.
Yes.
So, first thing he'll do, he'll take out that note. Just remember, you go, oh, that's right, yeah. And have a look at this note that the girl gave him.
It is actually a picture. It is a picture drawn in crayon, you know, the kind of thing that a young child would do. And it is a picture of what seems to be kind of a tall, skinny brown building. If you had to guess, it's a picture of the Hoffman Building. Above the building, there's a bright yellow sun in the sky, kind of sunbeams shooting out from it. There's at the base of the building, kind of across the page, there's kind of a line of green scribbles like grass or something like that. Not that there's any actual grass outside the building, but that's kind of what it looks like, perhaps in the imagination of a child.
It's imagination.
Yeah. Standing in front of the building, there are six figures, you know, just kind of stick figures, at various heights. Four of them are clearly meant to be men. Two of them are clearly meant to be women. And one of them is very clearly and obviously meant to be you. You know, he's kind of taller and stouter than the others. You know, there's kind of a scribble of, you know, on his head that's, you know, your hair color. He's got a, you know, got a scribble of a shirt that's the same color of shirt that you're wearing right now. It's clearly a picture of you, three other men, two women, standing in front of the Hoffman Building.
Interesting. He'll put it on his counter, look around, grab his keys, and head out so he can go down to get some food and stuff. Because if he's starting work at 5, get some food and everything, and a coffee before he has to head off to work.
Give me a quick intelligence roll.
Intelligence roll. 74, that's a success.
As you put the drawing down on the counter, whether it means anything to you or not, you're absolutely certain she was not drawing this as you rocked up.
Yeah, so she drew this beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I had a feeling, but it's like, interesting.
Yep. As you wander downstairs and make your way to the Somminyi grocery, what are the others doing? Anyone else hanging out outside, going to or from the grocery, doing something else?
I have,
want to have an encounter or say hello to your new neighbor?
Yeah, I have. I've pictured Kevin Mazur getting his afternoon in playing some one-on-one with basketball with out on the parking lot with one of the other members of the house. I don't know if that's one of these members or somebody else, but certainly seeing and in particular recognizing Peter Michael, he will, as he comes back out, invite him to, hey, Peter, is that you? Are you Peter Michael, the footballer?
Yes.
Yes. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I'm, so he's wearing, I guess it's the 70s. He's got some short shorts and a t-shirt on. And he's, just obviously been out playing basketball. And he says, well, welcome to the house. You want to get some basketball time in? Love to play with you sometime.
Basketball wasn't really my game. But yeah, sometime, definitely.
Good. Look, at the moment, I couldn't take you in football.
At the moment, I've got to go and grab some food. You'll look around. Is there an actual diner?
No.
Sure. Around here? No.
There's no diner around here?
Oh, there is not.
Wow.
Just going to head down to the shop. Do you want to come for a walk? What's your name? Sorry.
Sure. I'll come with you. And he sort of tosses the ball back to whoever he was playing with and says, catch you later. And sticks out his hand and says, Kevin.
Nice to meet you. Kevin. Nice to meet you. Yeah, it's just strange, all these new digs.
Sure, it'll take a while to get used to.
Yeah, especially being open. I mean, not used to being at all so open these days.
Yeah, no, it beats the beats where you came from, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. Don't talk about it too much in general. I don't, but
don't want to. So Jim, we are walking towards down to the store.
Okay. So a quick note on the neighborhood as you go. Excuse me. So the block that the Hoffman Building is on, the Hoffman Building kind of sits on the corner. The rest of the block is empty, or the rest of the block that the building is actually on, part of, is actually empty. You can see that there used to be buildings here. They look like they have all been torn down at some point, probably within the past couple of years. There are fences around all of the lots. All of the fences have signs on them, Boyce Construction, keep out, this kind of thing. You don't see any actual construction going on, but there's, a front loader parked here and, some other stuff there, but it's all kind of locked behind the fence. You don't see any actual people, working. Across the streets, the rest of the neighborhood, are kind of similar, are tenement buildings similar to the Hoffman. So across the street in both directions, punctuated by in some places or in many places by various businesses, most of which appear to be kind of labor, let's say labor intensive businesses. You know, so there's a, you know, there's a tailor and a laundromat and you know, janitorial services and, you know, whatever else, kind of things like this. A couple, you know, a few blocks away in one direction, you can see there's kind of a large warehouse looking building along the street. As you head towards the grocery, which I will paste in the notes here for Sean, I'll correct that. There we go. There's a, you pass a gas station on one corner. You know, there's a, it's not a particularly busy neighborhood. It's certainly not an upscale neighborhood by any stretch of the imagination. You know, there are people kind of here and there. You know, there is kind of on one corner across this, you know, across from the Hoffman, you know, there's just kind of an open blacktop area, which is where Mr. Mazur and whomever else play basketball, this kind of thing. Anyone else wandering around?
Yeah. Yes. When I see them walking towards the grocery store, I will try to catch up with them.
I'm sure you can do so.
And let's see. Hey. I guess. So I recognize him by face, but I don't know him. My understanding. Yeah, oh, hey.
Hey. Hey, how are you doing? I'll shake hands with both of you. Mr. Michaels, right?
Call me Peter.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of yours back in the day.
He sort of chuckles. Didn't get much time out there, unfortunately.
That happens. Hey, how about a beer?
Well, I've got to work tonight.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't mean right now. Of course, you need to settle down. But maybe tomorrow we can have a beer after work.
Oh, definitely. What's your name?
You can call me Frankie. My friends call me Frankie.
Frankie, nice to meet
you.
Yeah,
Frank Romero. And you are. I've seen you in building, but I haven't talked to you before.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Name's Kevin.
Kevin, yeah. Nice meeting you, Kevin. So you just got out, right?
I take it you guys, you from the same thing?
That's what the house is for.
Yeah. I'll tell you my story one day, buddy. I shouldn't have been there at all, but that's what we all say, isn't
that's what
it?
We all say. Yeah.
I'm much the same. Much the same.
Yeah. I'll tell you all about it over beers. You're invited, yeah. Kevin. You can go to my apartment. We have a few beers there. What's the game? I have a TV, a small TV. We can watch the game.
You have to watch the game sometime.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't seen one for ages now. So yeah.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you. I know how you felt. Leaving jail, first day, feeling lonely. I don't want people to go through that. It kills your soul. You can tell that he's of Mexican, parents maybe, and he's very tall and thin. He's definitely not a sport guy.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he actually. Guess,
Sorry, as you can probably guess, yeah, Peter is tall and built like a wall.
Yeah.
So he's very solid. Yeah.
Okay. How tall are you, Gary?
You'd be, I mean, quarterbacks, what, they'd be over 6 foot.
Game-wise?
No, for the character, yeah. He's over 6 foot, probably 6'2".
No, I mean, what's your size?
actual size, stats. He's actually 65.
Okay, I'm a little bit taller than you, but thinner.
Okay.
Way thinner.
Yeah.
Okay, keep walking, with them. And
how did you get that from the size numbers?
Well, if he's bigger, but he's no footballer, yeah, he better be taller and skinnier.
Yeah.
Taller, perhaps a little somewhere.
I'm sort of playing off a bit more.
He's got to go somewhere, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He could just be really overweight, but.
We all just make this stuff up anyway. I mean, come on. anyone else out and about? Want to come introduce themselves to the new tenants. At this point, kind of anyone who wants to certainly can be, regardless of whether or not you saw him, his little arrival ceremony.
So, Jim, what is our work schedules? Do we all work at around the same time? I mean, I don't know what time it is.
So by now it's about 4 p.m. It's, let's call it 3:30 p.m. is the bodega run is on the way to the bodega. But I did say 3:30, right? 3:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah. Yeah.
You said 3:30. Yes. Kind of everyone who works swing shift, which, spoilers, is all of you, start work at 5 p.m. So you work from 5 p.m. until 1 a.m.
Okay. I just didn't know.
Harsh. Where
was. Anyone else?
Yeah, what I would say is that Frank, I think that Kevin has probably seen Kirk in the building. I think he may be the first one who was there of the group that are there now. And he definitely knows Frank from working at the warehouse with him, although they don't have the same jobs. They sometimes walk together to work. They will see him coming towards them. Obviously, Peter doesn't know who it is, but and Frank will know that Kirk continues to exercise. He's a little too old to go running, but he takes long walks because he thinks he wants to be fit for his comeback career, which Frank has not told him yet is probably not going to happen.
All right, I will wave Kirk.
He will sort of speed walk his way over there to you. Frank, good to see you. Good to see you.
Yeah, we get a newcomer.
Oh. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. You'll lean towards Gary or Peter.
Yep.
And I feel like you're Kevin, right? Kevin, we've met before, right?
Yeah, Kevin. It's good to see you, Kirk.
Yeah, no, same here. Well, Peter, welcome to the family. if you have any questions, feel free to ask any of us. We've all been where you are. It's not quite as scary as your first night in in prison, but probably can still be a little disarming. And okay. I gotta keep going. I gotta get my miles in. I just gotta stay trim. Gotta stay trim.
He's always jogging, I say as he leaves.
He will proceed to take off, heading back towards the house again.
Cool.
He'll sort of nod, just like come up and talk to him like this, and then he rushes off. He'll look at the other two. Is he always like that?
Yeah. Pretty much. He's going to be famous again.
So you make your way to the bodega. You can spend a few dollars and get some coffee and other sundries, the basics, at least get yourself going. The woman at the counter is a small Korean woman in her 50s. She is very friendly and pleasant. She welcomes you to the neighborhood, happy to sell you anything you want. As Mr. Michael and makes his way back to the Hoffman, Ms. Janelle or Ms. Greer, any chance either of you were out and about and take notice of your new neighbor? Care to introduce yourselves?
Five in the afternoon.
It's about 4 in the afternoon now. You have about an hour before you get before work starts.
Oh, so work starts for all of us, or just work starts for
all of you?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then I'm headed out of my apartment. I can come into the street at the same time.
Yep.
I don't know Kevin, right? Already. I don't know Kevin already.
You certainly recognize him from the building.
Yeah, we've seen each other. I think, yeah. You don't have to know me well, certainly. Yeah.
You see Mr. Mazur coming into the building. You know, you recognize him. You've seen him around. You know he lives here. You see Mr. Michael coming into the building, who you don't recognize as living in the building.
And I think the idea was that we both work at the same place.
Yes, Ms. Janelle, you work with Mr. Mazur at the Sung Min Yi Grocery, the bodega that was just visited.
Okay. Oh, hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Marcia?
Hey there, fine. Is this a new friend you have?
Yeah, new friend for all of us.
Hi there, I'm Marcia.
Peter Michael, it's Marshall Janelle.
Hey, I'm Frank. Kobe, Frankie.
Hey there, Frank. I've seen you around.
Yeah, me too. Just a little bit shy.
Let me understand, because at the beginning of in the chat, Gary said I might find out where Peter's from, but everybody who's here has all been in prison.
They've guessed, basically, by the sense of it, we've all been in prison.
Yeah.
In
well, we don't know whether you've been in prison or not, Ms. Janelle. That's maybe it's up to you to say where you've come from or what you've been.
Okay, so to Peter, I kind of say, yeah, I moved here after I got out of being in prison for 5 years.
Yeah, well, I just got out myself.
And nice to have you back with us.
Yeah, it's nice to be out. Feels weird, though, too, so much space.
Are you going to be working at the bodega?
No, I'm security at a warehouse.
Oh, okay.
seems like a nice gig.
Oh, they probably think I'm built for security.
I wouldn't mess with you.
Pardon? Sorry? Marsha?
Have you done security before?
I dabbled in it when I was playing as extra cash.
I get it. You're Peter Michael. Yeah. Okay. Nice to have you with us.
You're not. Yeah, I've got to get this stuff up to my apartment. So you guys work at the bodega, I take it, by the sound of it.
Yeah.
Frankie?
Yeah, me too.
You too?
Kirk works there as well.
Cool. Well, I've got to get going because, yeah, been told what the warehouse is, what, 4 blocks away?
Yeah, don't be late.
Yeah, don't want to be late for my first night.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Maybe on a weekend when none of us are working, we can, sit around and have some beers and have a chat. Catch up.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Ms. Greer, any chance you're out and about, or are you keeping to yourself?
Well, I think Ms. Greer will be sitting sort of
shy.
In her window. She is shy. She's got maybe a cigarette, striking a pose, out looking out the window, kind of waiting for her time to go to work. So not too much, socialization yet.
Fair enough. Okay, so we'll kind of roll the clock forward a little bit as it approaches 5 o'clock. Kind of everyone heads off to their employment. We will go with Ms. Greer first as you make your way to the Sunoco station a couple blocks down from the Hoffman, where you are, of course, employed as an attendant.
Well, I have the station to myself that evening once I...
Pretty much you're the only one there. The station isn't that busy. This isn't a neighborhood where there's a lot of local people who have cars or driving, or who need petrol at this time of evening. But it does stay open 24 hours, kind of just in case somebody's coming through, or occasionally one of the trucks from Jedzik or one of the other businesses nearby will need some petrol, that kind of thing. It's 1976, so this isn't a convenience store. It's just a gas station. There's a few sticks of gum and a couple bottles of soda for sale.
There's still counter behind there. People tell me how much they want and I turn the pumps on and all that stuff. Yep.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Is there anything in particular? Yep. Okay.
Yep. Grab a magazine from the magazine rack and just just hang out. If it's not busy, I'll once again go take in some fresh air, kind of standing on the curb with that sweet gasoline smell that gas stations have, and kind of look out and count the days until my probation's over.
Sounds good. Let's cut over to the Song Min Yi Grocery. So Mr. Mazur and Ms. Janelle, the Sung Min Yi grocery is across the street from the Sunoco station. You know that, you know, one of your neighbors works there. You certainly recognize her. The grocery is likewise actually not open 24 hours. It closes at midnight. But during the evening shift here, the two of you are the only ones there. The owners head home, which is their apartment upstairs, so they're not too far away. Mr. Mazur, you're behind the counter as the cashier, and Ms. Janelle, you know, your job as the stocker is, you know, to kind of, you know, wander around, restock all the shelves, you know, clean when it's needed, you know, this kind of thing. It's not a particularly heavy job unless somebody makes a mess or there's a new shipment of produce or something comes in that needs to be put away. You know, most of your basically all of your customers are, you know, people from the neighborhood, you know, as this is the only grocery for quite a few blocks around. You know, so a lot of the, you know, local families will come here for, you know, this, that, the other thing, for dinner and snacks and, you know, to stock up. Is there anything in particular the two of you wanted to do as you make your way through your shift on this Wednesday evening?
I always find the most recent, I don't know if it's Scientific American, there's some science magazine that this place has, despite not really being made for that, right? It's got a rack of magazines, I assume.
Yep.
So yeah, so I'm definitely excited to find the recent edition of Astronomy Today or
National Geographic.
National Geographic is awesome. Yep. And I will read that behind the counter while I'm waiting for my neighbors to come in and buy their bit of cereal.
Sounds good.
And Marsha is a stalker, so she's stalking the counters. And
will you stop stalking me?
Oh, no. She's just stalking the counter. I mean, the shelves.
Right.
Getting things straight. And if she finishes, there's no more to stock up, she'll go ahead and straighten other stuff out that she sees. And then when she absolutely runs out of stuff to do, she'll maybe read every now and then, but maybe she just waits on folks to come in.
Okay. We will then cut over to Mr. Griffin, Mr. Romero, and Mr. Michael at Jadzik Enterprises. So Jadzik Enterprises is a warehouse. It is a contract warehouse. Basically, large boxes of widgets come in. There's a large staff of people who take the widgets out of the large boxes and put them into smaller boxes and load them back on other trucks. Mr. Griffin, you are, of course, employed as a janitor here. So, you know, when you start your shift, you know, you go get some janitorial supply, you know, get a mop bucket and trash can, and you go around emptying trashes and mopping the floors and, you know, cleaning up any spills and, you know, kind of tidying and organizing. You know, both the offices kind of above the warehouse floor as well as the warehouse floor itself. Mr. Romero, you are, of course, employed as a packer. So, out of all those many people who are taking widgets out of large boxes to put them in smaller boxes, that's what you spend your entire shift doing.
It is bored to death.
It is mind-numbing, repetitive work. Mr. Michael, when you show up, the owner of the warehouse, Mr. Jadzik himself, greets you. He kind of leads you to a small office, you know, doors labeled as security. He gives you a jacket to wear. It's just kind of a simple cotton jacket, you know, with Jadzik Enterprises logo on it. It says security on it. You have a flashlight, and basically there's a clipboard, and your job is to, you know, make a round of the, make a round inside the warehouse, and then make a round outside the warehouse, and then come back and note, anything that you saw. If there's, if there's like a window broken, or, something, that obviously needs repair, to take a note of that. Obviously, if you see, somebody, teens like spray painting on the wall, to run them off. He tells you that, they've never had any serious problems. It's all just kind of, vandalism and graffiti, and, occasionally some homeless guy sleeping in one of the loading docks. You got to run them off. That's your job. Good luck. Don't let us down.
No, Peter will just sort of nod, and start, grab his torch, jacket, put it over, and start wandering around, keeping an eye on things. Getting to know the layout of the warehouse and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Mr. Jadzik has one of the team leaders, come over for a few minutes just to kind of give you, the first walk around, at least inside.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of show you where everything, there's the restrooms, there's the break room, this kind of thing. Make sure you always check these windows, occasionally some teenagers have, like to throw, stones through these windows or whatever, and just kind of give you the lay of the land. You can see Mr. Romero in the packing line, eyes glazed over.
Well, he was
moving widgets between boxes.
As he walks past he'll give him a bit of a nod.
Yeah, you see Mr. Griffin pushing a mop bucket around, this kind of thing. Then the team leader just kind of says, "I got to go back to work." The outside, I'm sure you can find the outside of the building. There's occasionally some graffiti over here. These particular truck bays is occasionally where you'll find, some bum sleeping. Just roust him out. He doesn't.
And move him on.
Yeah, he doesn't take you on a tour of the outside. He just kind of points out these things, assumes you can find it yourself.
Peter will. He's got a. He's actually quite intelligent. He's got an 80 intelligence. So, he'll nod through and then basically start to get to know the outside. He'll wander out and start circling the building and get to know everything. And, things like where the darkest points outside the buildings is, that sort of stuff. I take it's a building surrounded by a fence.
That is correct.
So, he'll basically, wander around the fence, get to know where it's quite dark, where it's not so dark, and just all that sort of information.
Actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. There is no fence.
Oh, there's no fence.
The building is surrounded by streets on three sides, and then kind of the back side of the building, there's just kind of an alleyway with a few loading docks.
Okay, so it's fairly open then. Yep, not a problem. He'll just, start doing, the rounds where he's meant to be, checking things out and keeping an eye on things.
Okay. The evening progresses apace for everyone. Nothing in particular happens. Nothing of particular excitement or out of the ordinary for any of you till the end of your shift, midnight, 1 a.m. rolls around. You'll kind of pack up and make your way back to the Hoffman, head back into your apartments and climb into bed, ready to do it all again tomorrow. As everyone drifts off to sleep, can I get everyone except for, make sure I get this right here, I need this list. Ms. Janelle. So everyone except Meredith, would you put your headsets down, please? And keep an eye on the Skype chat. I will call you back one at a time.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. I will not put away my listening device.
Okay. So, Ms. Janelle, you make your way home from work, of course, trudge all the way up to your apartment, way up there on the fifth floor, number 13. You know, whatever you kind of do to relax a little bit, you know, before you fall into bed, you know, at this time of night, you know, there really isn't, you know, most of the TV channels have gone off the air, you know, listen to the radio a little bit or read, make yourself a cup of tea, whatever, you know, eventually fall into bed, fall asleep. At some point in the night, you wake up. You can see from the little alarm clock on your, nightstand there, it's a few minutes before 3 a.m. The room is dark. You look over to the window outside. The window of your fifth floor apartment here, number 13, kind of looks out on the street. And would you make a sanity roll, please?
A sanity roll. Okay. Let me look at this cord and see what I need. That's a low score. I failed my sanity score.
You can lose a D4, please.
Okay. I lost 3.
As you can see, standing outside of your window, there is what seems to be a woman. You can't, you know, it's too dark both in the room and outside to make out any features, but you, from the kind of general shape, you know, and what you can see, it looks like an older woman. And you can hear a knocking sound, and you can see she's raised a hand and she is knocking on your window.
And does my window have a balcony or something?
Nope.
So when I see this woman, I think she's just hovering, levitating.
You are welcome to make whatever assumption you would like.
What's the light source for me to see that? Is it just the moon and the street lights?
Yep.
Okay, so I wake up. I become aware that this woman is, she's knocking on the window.
Yes.
And I grab the, so I keep a empty bottle on the, like a hefty, good empty alcohol bottle on the ground by my liquor bottle on the ground by my bed that I sleep with, and I pick it up and I go over to the window and try to understand what's going on. I'm looking at her. I'm looking down. I'm trying to look down, and I look at her face, and what expression is on her face? Is she evil or angry or mean or mad or anything?
So even once you get close, you can't quite make out the details of her face. You know, it's like there's just so much shadow. You can't, you know, see the entirety of her face. You can kind of see, you know, the corner of her temple and, you know, the slight angle of her jaw and this one arm raised, and, you know, you can make out, you know, these kind of thin, withered fingers as she's slowly rapping on the window. And you can just, from the, you know, the bit of her jaw that, you know, you can see, it looks like she's saying something. You can't quite make it out. Kind of a in, you can just barely hear in.
And on this window, what kind of an opening choice do I have? Is it a slide? Does it go up sideways? Does it go out?
It's a single hung window, so it's there's a latch in the middle and then the bottom slides up.
Was 911 a thing in 1976?
Yes, it was.
I don't understand what's going on because she's able to be levitating, so that's a little freaky. So I'm not trusting what I see right now. And I did just lose 3 points of sanity, so I don't know if I'm aware of that, but I feel a little bit shaken.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know what's going on. I think about calling 911, and I understand that, what am I going to say to someone? There's a woman floating outside my window. I'm not able to say that. So I'm deciding, thinking that's almost not an option, because then they'll come arrest me, and then she won't be there anymore, and they're going to put me in a white jacket. So I am scared, and I'm frantically thinking of what to do. And also, do I happen to know any of my neighbors by apartment number? Like, if I was to knock on someone's door and we were to go outside and look at the window, do I know where anyone lives, or just only by sight?
I think probably the only person that you know, well, I take that back. Let's see. I'm sure by now you would know that Mr. Mazur, because he works with you, lives in number 5 down on the second floor.
Okay, so I'm quickly getting dressed in whatever I can throw on, as long as it's got a pair of sneakers or running shoes included, maybe like jean shirt and running shoes. And I am bringing my bottle with me, and I'm going to knock on the door of his name is not Kevin. Hang on a minute. Mazur. Yep. Kevin, yes. Yep. I'm going to knock on Kevin's door.
Okay.
And quick manner.
As you reach the second floor and as you knock on his door, would you make a listen roll with a bonus die, please?
Okay. A listen roll. Okay, a 93. A 43. Let me look at my listen. It's a 50. I passed.
Okay. Just as you start knocking, you hear an absolute blood-curdling scream. It's a woman. She is screaming in fear, in pain, in terror. It is absolutely coming from the building, from somewhere within the building, and somewhere below you. And with that, would you please put down your headset and wait until I call you back?
Okay, it'll be on mute until I see it in the chat. Okay.
Thank you.
Back.
Okay. So, Mr. Michael, after work, you kind of, put your jacket back, finish filling out your little checklist form there, make your way back to your new digs, your apartment, make your way inside, kind of go through, kind of introducing yourself to the apartment, kind of, figuring out, kind of what you're going to do. This is your first time here. First time of freedom in a while. Kind of, how am I trying to relax a little bit after work? You're definitely tired, worn out. It's been a stressful day, mm-hmm. full day of work after some, fairly big changes. A cup of tea, a bottle of beer, whatever. There's not a whole lot on TV at this time of night. Most of the channels have gone off the air. You can listen to the radio for a little while, whatever. Eventually, fall into bed and fall asleep. The bed is clean and comfortable, and you drift off pretty quickly until you wake up. And it is, you know, you can see from the clock. Not yet, Sean. you can see from the clock on your table there, it looks like it's a few minutes before 3 a.m. And you hear a rapping sound on your bedroom window. And, you know, so you're on the, so you're in number 11 here on the fourth floor. Your window is kind of to the side of the front entrance of the building, but it looks out over one of the cross streets there. You hear this rapping sound on the window and you look out and you can see a tree. It looks like you're looking, you know, like there's a big tree planted right outside the window and the branches are blowing in the wind and they're kind of clicking and banging against the window.
Oh, you'll get up and sort of wander over to the window going, what the? I don't remember. There wasn't a tree out there. Until I come on the fourth story. So open up the window and have a look out.
As you open up the window, you can see that, you know, yeah, there's a tree right outside the window. But would you make a sanity roll, please?
Mm-hmm. 82. So I think that may be a failure.
A yep, D4, 55. If it is.
A D4. 2.
Okay. As you open the window, the tree branches, you can see they're, you know, this is like, you know, kind of a big thick oak tree and the branches and leaves are blowing in the wind and some of the branches start to blow in such a way that they move and they come in, they kind of flop inside the window. And as they do, you can absolutely see them moving and they are stretching out towards you and trying to wrap themselves around you.
He'll grab at the branches to break them and pull back.
You can, you know, kind of push the branches away, break a few off, kind of jump back a little bit. Give me a listen roll, please.
Listen roll. 14. I... 55. So, yep, success.
Okay. As you're doing so, from inside the building, you can hear someone running down the stairs. You absolutely hear footsteps on the stairs, and it sounds like they're definitely coming downstairs from somewhere above you and probably continuing on down below you. You know, that you kind of hear them and then, you know, footsteps on the landing outside your door and then continuing down the stairs.
Okay. I'll close the door. I close the window. Chuck on my shoes, you know, jacket, and head out to see what's going on.
And as you open your door, you don't see anything. It's, you know, been at least a minute or so since, you know, it was that just ran past your door, you know, went past. But as soon as you open your door and step out, you hear an absolute blood-curdling scream. A woman screaming in pain, in terror, in anguish. It is coming from somewhere in the building, and it is coming from below you. And would you please put your headset back down and wait till I call you back again?
Will do.
For the listeners, we're waiting for Randall to come. Mr. Romero.
I'm back.
See what happens with Mr. Romero. There he is. So, Mr. Romero.
Yes.
You had a pretty good evening at work, as good as You know, any of your work can be at Jadzik Enterprises. Terribly mind-numbing. Your hands get sore. Your arms get sore. You know. Kind of the only variety, at least, is that, you know, it's different widgets every night, right? They're, you know, as a contract warehouse, you know, they don't have any particular products of their own. It's just, you know, whoever contracts with them to do this repacking. You know, so one day it's teddy bears, and the next day it's alarm clocks, and, you know, whatever. So at least there's some variety from day to day. But otherwise, it's just the same thing. You know, take the stuff out of these big boxes and put them in these smaller boxes and send them back to different trucks. So after your workday ends, you make your way back to the Hoffman, climb back up to the third floor there, your number 8 or your number 9 apartment, sorry. You know, get back home, kind of go through, you know, whatever you've established is your usual after work routine here, you know, to relax for a little bit before you go to bed, drink a cup of tea, drink a beer, you know, at this time of night, you know, a lot of the TV stations have gone off the air, so there's not a whole lot on TV, but, you know, listen to the radio or read something for a little bit, just kind of relax and, you know, eventually climb into bed and fall to sleep.
Okay.
You wake up, look over, and you can see from the little alarm clock there on your nightstand, it's a few minutes before 3 o'clock.
Unusual.
And you kind of, you know, you certainly haven't been asleep, you know, that long. You kind of wonder what woke me up. And you look, and standing in the corner of your bedroom is a man. And he is huge. He is well over 7 feet tall. He looks like he's wearing kind of coveralls. He's got, you know, he seems like he's bald, maybe. You know, in the darkness, you can't really make out his face. You know, he's kind of standing there in the shadows. There's just, you know, a few kind of hints of light coming in from the window, from the moon and the streetlights outside. And he is just standing there. Would you make a sand roll, please?
Okay. My sand is very low. Oh, I will burn 1 point of luck to make it a success.
Just 1 point then.
Okay. And I will grab my whatever I'm sleeping with, throw it towards him, jump off the bed, and turn on the lights.
Okay. Make a throw roll.
It's a failure.
Okay. You throw something at this large man. Maybe it was the alarm clock. let's hope not. Maybe it was the book you were reading. It smacks against the wall, clearly missing him. Give me a listen roll.
Okay. Listen is a failure.
Okay. And you know, reach over to flip on the lights. And as you do so, you see two things. Or sorry, you see one thing. First of all, there's no one there. You know, the corner where he was standing is empty. You see the book that's smacked against the wall, kind of laying there on the floor.
What's going on?
And you hear an absolutely blood-curdling scream. It is a woman. It's clearly coming from inside the building, somewhere below you, and she is just screaming in pain, in anguish. It is probably the worst thing you have ever heard.
Okay. I will go ahead and, put on jeans. On the way out of the apartment, I will put on T-shirt, and I will rush towards the the source of the screaming.
Okay. As you make your way, as you open the door and step out, would you put your headset down and wait till I call you back?
Sure.
For the listeners, I hope you're enjoying all of these different nightmares. There is a rhyme. There is some rhyme and reason to them, which maybe our players will discover at some point as we are waiting for Ms. Greer to join us, for Steve.
She has arrived.
And there he is. Very good. Ms. Greer, so you had a pretty good evening at the Sunoco gas station. Mm-hmm. You know, being an attendant at the gas station in this part of town, you know, through swing shift, kind of the early parts are, you know, a little busy, but then, you know, as it gets later and later, you know, business definitely drops off, and it really just becomes boredom. You know, you're just kind of, you know, watching, waiting to see if anyone shows up. You know, you have a little radio there. You can listen to the radio. You know, maybe there's a little 4-inch black and white TV if you want to watch something. You know, but it is just kind of the most boring sitting around waiting, nothing going on evening. Eventually your shift comes and the overnight fellow, who you figure has it even worse than you do, shows up and you take off, make your way back to the Hoffman building. Climb up to the third floor there, your number 7 apartment. Mm-hmm. You know, get in, you know, kind of go through whatever, you know, sort of, you know, ritual you've established kind of for after work to settle in, relax a little bit before you go to bed. You drink a cup of tea or, you know, a piece of fruit or read a book. You know, there's not a whole lot on TV at this time of night, but, you know, listen to the radio, whatever. For a little while, eventually make your way to bed and fall asleep. Until you wake up. And you look over at the alarm clock on the little alarm clock there on your nightstand, and it reads a couple minutes before 3. The room is quiet, silent.
Did something wake me up, or did I just...
You don't immediately kind of notice anything. You don't hear anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quiet. You know, there's just a little bit of, you know, moonlight, street lights coming in from the window, you know, illuminating the area just inside the window a little bit. But then you realize you need to make a sand roll.
Ha ha! I hate it when I realize that. That looks like a failure. Let me confirm. Yes, it is.
A D4, please.
A D4. A 4-point failure.
Okay. As you, you know, kind of look around for a moment, what's that? You're thinking, I just want to go back to sleep. I'm tired. You know, I've only had, you know, an hour and a half of sleep or whatever. You notice on your nightstand next to the alarm clock is a book. A large, heavy, looks like it's kind of leather bound. There's a certain kind of age to it. And it's sitting there on the nightstand. You've not seen it before.
Huh. My first thing is to look around the room and, you know, see if there's anybody there. Get up and, hello? Hello? Sure, it doesn't take very long because it's a small place. Now come back, you know, and take a look, sit down on my bed and pick it up.
Just as you were about to sit down, would you please make a listen roll?
Yes. Good at listening to people's problems at the cab, although not now. That is a failure as well.
Okay. But just as you were about to pick up the book, you hear a scream. It is an absolute chilling, blood-curdling scream. It is clearly a woman, and she is just screaming out in pain, in anguish, in terror. You have never heard anything like this.
Is it outside?
It is definitely coming from inside the building, and it is definitely coming from below you.
Okay, below me. So I'm in 7, so does it sound like it's on the first or second floor? Tough to tell,
having failed a listen roll.
Okay, sounds good. I will grab the axe handle I keep by the door in case anyone comes in, and throw on my silk robe and run down the stairs to see what's going on.
As you take off outside the door, would you please take your headset back off and wait till called?
Yes. Could I, make some kind of roll to see if I recognize the voice at all?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Okay. See you soon.
Thank you.
Greetings.
Mr. Mazur.
Yes.
So, thank you for your patience. It takes a while to get through 6 people here.
A lot of us.
So, you had, kind of a quiet evening working at the grocery with Ms. Janelle. As the grocery kind of gets towards closing up, business gets less and less and less. And, the job, especially towards the end, really kind of gets kind of boring and monotonous as you're just kind of sitting around, maybe chatting with Ms. Janelle or, listening to the radio, reading a book, whatever you're doing. Eventually your shift does come to an end. You and Ms. Janelle leave. you don't have keys to the grocery, but you do have the means to lock up and, that's kind of one of your tasks. Pull the gate down and, slide the lock, click the lock in place. Make your way home back to the Hoffman building. Climb up to your second floor apartment there, number 5. Say goodnight to Ms. Janelle. Go in, go through kind of whatever your evening ritual is to relax a little bit before you head off to bed. Listen to the radio or read a book, drink a beer, whatever. Eventually you climb into bed, fall asleep, until you wake up. You look over at the little alarm clock on your nightstand there, and it shows a few minutes before 3 a.m.
Oof. Well, I just got into bed.
The room is dark. It's quiet. Just some light coming in from the moon and the street lights outside. And you look up, and you can make a sanity roll, please.
14 is some kind of success. Yeah, hard, extreme, just hard success. Just
1 point then.
Okay.
As you realize that standing right at the foot of your bed, looking down at you, in shadow, the room is pretty dark. You can't really see her. It's definitely a woman. She seems to be tall, slender. Dressed in kind of a simple gray shift, maybe. You can't quite make out her face, but she seems to just be standing there looking down at you.
I kind of rub my eyes to make sure it's real. And I assume it doesn't go away.
You assume correctly.
And I'll reach over to the bed lamp and turn it on and look at this woman. What are you doing here? Who are you?
As you click the light on, there's no one there. But a moment after you click the light on, you hear a blood-curdling scream. It is absolutely a woman, and she is just screaming in pain, in anguish, in terror. It's definitely coming from inside the building, and it's definitely coming from below you.
All right, well, I will jump out of bed and grab my flashlight and run downstairs. I've got my sweats and t-shirt on.
As you grab your flashlight and head towards your door, there is a knock at your door. Someone is knocking, banging on your front door.
Who is it? I'll get to the door.
And as you do so, would you please put your headset down until I call you back in just a moment?
All right.
Okay, one more to go.
Saving the best for last.
Absolutely.
Yes. First shall be the last.
That's what you get for being on the first floor. Mr. Griffin. So, you know, you had a pretty good night work there at Jadzik Enterprises. You know, just kind of the usual, cleaning up, mopping the floors, emptying the trash. You know, there wasn't anything, you know, in particular, no kind of hazardous, you know, material spills or anything like that you had to deal with. Or, you know, Mr. Michael maybe might work out pretty well. You know, there's no kind of graffiti you have to go clean off the building or anything like that has showed up. You know, but eventually your shift comes to an end. And, you know, you make your way back home, back to the Hoffman building, come inside, you know, get into your apartment, go through, you know, kind of whatever your, you know, usual, you know, evening ritual is to relax a bit before you go to bed. You know, watch TV, although there's, you know, most of the channels have gone off the air at this time of night. Listen to the radio, you know, read a book, drink a beer, mostly whatever.
Practices his magic because just last year that Doug Henning had a World of Magic special starring that paragon of virtue, Bill Cosby. So, of course, he wants to follow in the footsteps of him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Magic's coming back. This is how it's going to happen.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. You know, so you do that for a little while and eventually, you know, sleep gets the better of you. You climb into bed, fall asleep until you wake up. The room is dark. It's quiet. You know, there's just kind of a little bit of moonlight, some light coming in from the street lamps outside. You know, you're on the first floor, so you're kind of getting the worst of it there. You look over at the little alarm clock on your nightstand. It reads a few minutes before 3 a.m. You kind of look around. Why did I wake up? You kind of look over to the kind of other side of your bed, and you can make a sanity roll, please.
I can fail a sanity roll.
Okay. D4.
Okay. Four, yeah.
As standing there by the side of your bed, there is a figure. It's really in shadow. You can't make out any features or anything like that. You know, kind of just based on the shadow and outline, it kind of puts you in mind of a young girl. You know, you can't, you know, her face is in shadow. You can't, you know, see who it is, if it's someone you know or don't know or whatever. You know, but her, you can tell from, you know, the, the glint of light on the line of her jaw that you can see her mouth is, open and is working like she's trying to say something. And she is reaching out towards you.
He will pull back because he has just instinctively fans reaching out for him has always made him a little bit nervous about people getting into his space.
Of course.
I mean, he's in bed. I mean, she's at the foot of the bed or the side of the bed?
She's at the side of the bed.
He will move and stand up on the other side of the bed and say, "Who's there? Who's there?"
There is no answer. But as you say that, would you please make a listen roll?
I doubt that's a success. It is not. Nope.
Okay. You hear a scream. It's clearly a woman, and she is screaming, and it is an absolutely blood-curdling scream. She is screaming in pain, in anguish, in fear. You know, it is one of the worst things, if not the worst thing, you have ever heard. And you are absolutely certain it is coming from next door.
In that case, his chivalrous, gentlemanly instincts will kick in. He will, you know, make his way there post-haste, not even sort of paying attention to what the child's shadow might be doing.
Okay. As you rush out your front door, hold on a moment while I summon the others back.
Ooh, like a demon.
Get the summoning circle established.
Yeah. Call them back.
Light and the candles.
Unmuted.
I'm back.
I have returned.
Okay. So hopefully everyone remembers where they were. Mr. Mazur, I'll actually pick up with you first of all, as you call out who's there at your door, and Ms. Janelle answers.
It's Janelle. Oh. Let me in.
Yeah, sure. And I'll open the door. What's going on?
I heard grab a baseball bag, grab something, come outside with me. There's a lady levitating outside of my window. Don't worry about if you don't believe it. Just grab something and come with me to look.
All right. And I will look around at my lack of baseball bat. And I pull a knife out of the kitchen and I follow Marcia. That's her first name, right? Janelle? Yeah, Marcia, down the wherever she's telling me to go.
And I had the idea while I was off camera. I was like, should I have called the cops and told them there was a fight outside so that at least they would like show up at the right time, even if I can't tell them what's going on? So should we call the cops or do you want to just go look?
Yeah, I'm back.
There's a lady levitating outside. You let's go look.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
No. So,
Jim, when I go outside of the door to my building, am I going to be on the same north, south, east, or west side of my building as my window opens to?
You must be muted.
Yes, he is. Sorry. The answer is yes. As the two of you make your way out from Kevin's apartment and downstairs, as you hit the first floor, you see Mr. Griffin coming out of his apartment.
I'm looking up Mr. Griffin's first name.
Kirk. Hey, Kirk.
Kirk, did you hear that scream outside?
It was horrible.
Gotta get out there.
Yeah.
And he will start running.
A point of order for Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
When I said next door, I meant the apartment next door.
Oh. I'm spatially confused then. Do I know if somebody's in that apartment?
You would know that next door to you in number 2 of the Hoffman building lives Asuncion Roldan and her granddaughter, Carolina.
Okay, so it's their room. All right, I thought it was something outside. So, yes, right. I will start knocking on their door.
Okay.
And knocking, but doing that thing where you're knocking, but you're putting your hand down to test to see if it's locked anyway.
Okay, it is locked. You knock. The scream has stopped. You are no longer hearing it. Ms. Greer, Mr. Romero, Mr. Michael, what are the three of you up to?
Rushing towards the source of the screaming.
Same here. Sitting down and trying to see what's going on.
Okay. Ms. Greer? We'll come back to Ms. Greer.
Yeah, maybe not back yet.
Screaming.
We might be muted.
No, sorry. Yeah, I was screaming at the phone as loudly as that lady. No, yeah, I was saying I was running down as well and, running into people and where's that coming from? And stuff like that.
Yeah, eventually you'll hit the first floor and you can see, Mr. Griffin, standing there knocking on the door to number two. Some of the others standing around. Mr. Mazur, Ms. Janelle, are you rushing outside? Is that your plan?
No, I was told that we were looking out her window, that we were headed to her apartment, I thought, to look out her window to see some levitating lady. Am I making that up?
I think so. I thought Ms. Janelle was headed outside to look for the levitating lady.
Are we headed outside?
I was headed outside to look up at my window.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And do we see on our way? So I'm on this, I guess maybe not.
Yeah, no. So the two of you, as you hit the first floor, you can see, Mr. Griffin come out of his apartment, and start banging on the door to number two and trying the knob.
Okay. Yeah, and what's happening?
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard a scream coming from this room.
Me too. Oh, from here.
Yes. It was right next
door. Marcia said there was somebody outside screaming.
Open the door.
It's locked. I don't.
Would you all make listen rolls, please?
Can I try to locksmith the door?
Just a moment. Door. Yes.
Sean, the lady outside my window was silent.
Failed listen.
I succeeded with an extreme success.
I failed.
Oh, 004, listen.
Those of you who
yelling right next to me.
Those of you who pass your listen roll, from inside the apartment, from inside number two, you can hear what sounds like someone sobbing, crying, not loud. It's fairly quiet, and it's kind of punctuated with a "Help me." Please, someone help! Help me! Help!
I'm trying to break the door down.
Strength roll.
Yeah.
Can I will help. Die since we're getting helped here.
Yeah.
Strength roll with the bonus die. I guess. Unless Mr. Griffin has some.
Oh
magic.
No! He'll be pushed aside as an old man should be.
normal success.
That is more than enough to break in to these apartments. You bust the door open. It goes flying open. And you can all make sanity rolls.
Oh, of course we can. No good deed goes unpunished.
That's great.
I make
a pass.
Those of you who pass can lose 1 point.
Sorry, had someone here, so I didn't hear what was going on.
Sanity roll. Those of you who pass can lose 1 point. Those of you who fail can lose a D3. As the door bursts open, and inside the apartment, and you're kind of guessing that all the apartments here are laid out basically the same. Smack in the center of the living room is the body of Asuncion Roldan, the grandmother. She is laying on the floor. She is wearing what seems to be a nightgown. Her chest is burst open. You can see her rib cage on either side sticking up, like her rib cage has been cracked open like a cupboard or something. There is a huge puddle of blood around her. There is blood splattered on the ceiling. There is blood splattered all over the walls. And in the far corner, kind of curled up in as small a ball as she can possibly be, is young Carolina. And she is crying. And I think this is a good place to cut for tonight.
Oh!